possibly given to other malachas, such as Korea, Avinas Litfor, Selso Avinas Livnos, perhaps Matish, Avinas Likshor. Tosus wasn't even sure, maybe untying and tying knots fits into that category. And then Tosus says, Kotzer, Betzorach Le'etzim, that if a person does an act of Zomer, a person does an act of pruning, and isn't planning on using the wood, he's not going to be chay mishum kotzer. Mishum zomer, yes, but mishum kotzer not. Because the tzorach la'etzim is so critical, so important, its absence will impact on the very essence of the malacha. So where did Tosfos get this idea from? A diuk here, a diuk there, a nuance here, a word here. But one of the gemaras that Tosfos is highlighting at the very end of the shiur yesterday that expresses this idea that the tzorach is so important was that gemara tucked away in Masechta Shabbos in Daf Kuf Mem Hey Min Aleph. So the Gemara said that if a person takes a pickle and squeezes out the pickle, depending on why he's squeezing out the pickle, will make him either chay of a mutter. If he's squeezing out the pickle to get the pickle juice, wants to drink the pickle juice, so that's the halach equivalent of squeezing out a grape and an olive, which is the halach equivalent of threshing grain, which falls under the category of malachas disha. But if his goal is simply to improve the taste, but to cut down on some of the extra pickle juice, the extra salt in his pickle, that's the gufan. And the gufan comes from Yochanan and says, mutter. It's mutter even the chetchila, you're allowed to squeeze a pickle under those circumstances. Where did that come from? How is it mutter the chetchila to do it? Says Tosfos, the answer is very simple. It's mutter the chetchila because the tzorech is such an integral part of Lechaz Disha that its absence basically removes the entire Shei Malacha from it. So Tosfos said, we have such a cloud by Disha, we have it by Kotzer, we have it by Moichik, we have it by Tofer, Korea, we have it by Sosa, we have it by Mat, 6 out of 39 Malachas. That's already, I'm not sure the percentage, that's a pretty big, large chunk of Malachas, where Tosfos is showing you, Gemara here, word here, the Yakir, that the Amanas play such a critical role. But the truth is that even this very Gemara, which Tosfos is putting so much support from this Gemara and Daf Kuf Mem Hey about the pickle juice. So in fact, there are actually different approaches to the pickle juice. The pickle juice is a very, very lumdish sugya because that pickle juice, that one guy who's squeezing out the pickles to get rid of the juice, doesn't want to use the juice. He wants to improve the quality of the pickle. So Tosfos plugged into that. Here's your sod. And tells it other places has a little bit of a different way of reading what that Gemara is talking about. So it's actually, as strange as it may sound, there's such a lumdus robbing around this poor guy who's trying to get out some of the pickle juice to get his pickles a little bit healthier, a little bit tastier for his purposes, that some of the ABCs in the Chashavas actually revolve around that very sugya. So if we take a look at the sixth of the Maror Kamos, so Tosfos makes reference to a major machlekes rishonim, probably the most relevant machlekes, the most relevant issue that comes up in so many different issues in Hilchos Shabbos, and that's the notion of the principle of davar she'en miskaven and the principle of psik reisha. So before we get into the Tosfos and back to the pickles, back to the tzorach, we'll just take a little bit of a background to this discussion. There is a machlekes at Tanoi about the following very, very famous question. A person wants to take a chair to the backyard on Shabbos. So he wants to schlep the chair, drag the chair along the dirt. Is there anything wrong with that per se? So objectively, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with carrying a chair. So there's a neighbor in the backyard, so I'm carrying the chair. There's nothing per se wrong with that. Problem is, if I schlep it over the ground, it's going to make a charitz. It's going to make a hole. It may make a little furrow in the dirt. And that itself is a problem. Making holes in the ground on Shabbos, that falls under the category of malachas choresh. That's what you do when you plow. You begin to move the dirt around, you make holes in the ground, etc. So the schlepping of the chair, making a hole, is a potential problem. However, the issue here is I don't even know that it's going to make that hole. I'm not planning on making the hole. I don't even know the hole's going to happen. So what do we do with that? How do we assess such an action? So that was the machlekes of Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yehuda said, you cannot schlep the chair. You know why? It's a chair. You may make holes. You have no right to schlep that chair if you think there's a potential that a hole may be made. Davar she'en miskaven is awesome. And Rabbi Shimon said no. Rabbi Shimon says, Davar she'en miskaven is mutter. Since I'm not planning on making a hole, and I don't even know the hole is going to be made, my goal is to do action A, and there's a chance that action B, maybe the making the hole may occur, maybe yeah, maybe no. That's called the Davar she'en miskaven. And a Davar she'en miskaven, not only is it mutter b'Torah, it's mutter b'Rabban, it's mutter b'Chachila. It's perfectly permissible to walk, carry the chair, as long as I'm not sure where the hole is going to be. That was the original machlekes for Rabbi Shimon. Even though most of the time when you have machlekes, Rabbi Shimon, we follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that's the general klal, the Gemara says. But there are a few exceptions to this rule, and this is one of the exceptions. The Gemara says explicitly that in this case, halacha could be shimon. So everybody agrees, la halacha, that you're allowed to carry the chair. You're allowed to schlep the chair, allowed to drag the chair, even though there is a possibility that a hole may be made. However, the Gemara has a further discussion. What if it's not a possibility that a hole may be made, it is a certainty that the hole is going to be made, or even if it's not 100% certainty, it's close to a certainty. It's a strong probability that the hole is going to be made. So the Gemara says that's a different ballgame. That's not the sugi of Dov Shem's Kamen. That's what's called a psik resha. Psik resha literally means that if you cut off the head of a chicken, the chicken is going to die. You can't say, I don't want to kill the chicken. I want to cut off the head of the chicken. The chicken may die, maybe it won't die. 50-50 chance. Not 50 chance. It's going to die. So that's what's called the psik resha of Lo Yamos. So comes the Gemara and says, now when did Rabbi Shimon say you're allowed to schlep the chair? That's when it's a 50-50 chance a hole may be made. But if for certain the hole is going to be made, that's called the psik resha. Psik resha is absolutely awesome in a Torah, no question whatsoever. Psik resha is awesome. However, there's still however even to that. So far we started with principle number one, Dov Hashem is Kavin, 50-50 chance. Psik resha, certainty, or close enough to halachic certainty. Then the Gemara has a further breakdown in Masechah Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel. What if this psik resha is something that's going to happen, we know it's going to happen, but I couldn't care less whether it's going to happen or not. It doesn't interest me that it happens. So a very good example of that would be as follows. Let's say I want to wash the Tilsi Yadayim over grass. So washing the Tilsi Yadayim is mutter, but watering grass is usur. So do I have a right to say, I'm not watering the grass, I'm washing the Tilsi Yadayim. There's a chance that the grass may get watered. There's not a chance to make the grass may get watered. There's a certainty the grass is going to get watered. So you cannot hide behind Dov Hashem is Kavin. That's a psik resha. But do I want the grass to grow? It depends where the grass is. If the grass is in my backyard, I'm very happy about it growing. I'll save myself a few pennies from the gardener next week. So when I wash the Tilsi Yadayim over my grass, that's what we call a psik resha denichale. I'm doing action A, washing my hands, which per se should be mutter. It's definitely causing action B, i.e. grass growing. That's a davar asur. That's a psik resha. And to make matters worse, it's a psik resha denichale. So that is for sure also. That's actually the Sibir HaTorah. That's for sure also. But one of them washing the Tilsi Yadayim over somebody else's grass, I don't particularly like that other person. I don't really care about the other person. I'm not running to go help him do his gardening. So I couldn't care less whether his grass grows or not. So that's what's called the psik resha delo nichale. We shouldn't confuse that to mean, lo nichale means I don't want it to happen. It's not that I don't want it. Not that I hate the guy. I want his grass to die. So I don't care. I couldn't care less. That's called the psik resha delo nichale. So psik resha delo nichale, the only thing that we know is, it's not asa min haTorah. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kof Gimel says, min haTorah it's not asa. What is unclear is it mutter? Does it mean that it's mutter lechatchila? I can live my life based on psik resha delo nichale? Any and every time I want to do action A, and I know B is going to happen, but I couldn't care less, so then it's okay? Is that true that it's mutter lechatchila? Or do I say, no, the Gemara never said it's mutter lechatchila. There are a lot of things in the Shabbos that fall in between the cracks called pater val asar. Maybe psik resha delo nichale is still prohibited mid derabbanan. So that is a huge machlokes. The ramifications of that machlokes are very, very significant. Anyone ever walk past a sensor on Shabbos? Anyone walk past the camera on Shabbos? Anyone walk past lights that are going on Shabbos? Loads of these shadows come up. I'm walking lamashal. I'm walking past the security camera. I couldn't care less whether the camera's on, the camera's off, it's taking a picture of me. The only reason I want that camera is in case there's a god up in the middle of the night. But when I walk at the shul, I don't care whether I'm not happy that the gabbai knows. The gabbai's not sitting and watching the footage to see who came when to shul. So I don't really care what's happening behind the scenes. On the other hand, I'm triggering a malacha. So I'm walking into a building. I'm doing something that's okay. But by doing so, I'm triggering certain changes in the electrical system. So that's a psik resha delo nichale. Is that mutter? Is that asa? That's a loaded question. Suffice it to say that although maybe 30 years ago people were a little bit more machmer this because there was like maybe one camera every six blocks, today, if you think that you're not being, being seen by some security camera somewhere, you are in dreamland because every movement that you're making is being watched and being recorded by multiple security cameras, by every single person's bell on the block, together with everything else that's going on. So if you... A person thinks, I go to the coastal, I'm not walking past a security camera. You go to the coastal, you're probably walking past about 10,000 security cameras at the same time, together with any other block in New York City or in Eretz Yisrael or any other place in the world at this point. So again, that's a loaded question. Why it's what the, why, what the svar is, part of the discussion is psikreish lo nichale. But now you're getting back to that story. So there's a big machlekes of Yishanim, is a psikreish lo nichale outright mutar or not? So Tosus in the sixth of the Mamakom is a long, long Tosus. We're just going to just talk about the lines that are bold print, the highlighted lines. So it's on page 3 of the Marmakamos. It's that first of the bold lines. The chain pirish ba'aruch, the chol psikreishin lo nichale shari. The Sefer Aruch, Aruch was a Rishon who lived before the days of Malach Tosus. His name is Rabbeinu Nosson. He came from the city of Rome. So Rabbeinu Nosson in Rome, he wrote a fascinating Sefer. He did not write a Perush on the Gemara, did not write Shas Tshuvas. He wrote a dictionary. He wrote a Gemara dictionary, defining terms that appear in the Gemara. However, he was such a great Talmid Chacham, he was Rashiv in Rome, that whenever he would enter in, you know, a definition of a word, he would show you where this Aramaic word appears in Chazal, and then he would give you a little bit of a taich, a little bit of an interpretation of what the meaning of the word and phrase is. And by doing so, he basically showed you how he learned certain sugyas. So it was written literally as a dictionary to help you just understand basic Aramaic to be able to learn Gemara. But in doing so, he wrote a tremendous Sefer Halacha as well. So in the Sefer HaAruch, he takes a stand on this issue. So you're talking about a couple hundred years before the days of Malach Tosus. The Sefer Aruch was of the opinion that a psikreish lo nichale is shari. Shari means mutter. It's mutter, green light. It's mutter lechetchila. Any and every psikreish lo nichale. How did he know this? What was one of his sources that this was permissible? So one of his sources was the case of the pickles. What's the case of the pickles? A person is squeezing the pickles. So squeezing out the pickles per se is not really a malacha. I'm not really doing anything that's also per se. The problem is, my goal is simply to taste good pickles. I want to get a little bit low on the salt. I want to get rid of the juice. That per se is not a malacha. The problem is that it's a psikresha that the juice is going to come out, and collecting a cup of pickle juice is per se a malacha. That's a problem. But I wasn't planning on doing that. My goal was to get rid of the salt. So now I'm doing something that's okay. I'm ending up doing a malacha, and I don't really care about that malacha. I don't want the pickle. I'm going to throw the pickle juice into the garbage. I'm not interested in using it. So the Aruch was of the opinion that seems to be called a psikreish lo nichale. And what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan said, mutter. That was the words Rabbi Yochanan said. Shari. Kvashim sheshachta negufan mutter. So comes the Sefer Aruch, at least Tosus puts into the words of the Sefer Aruch, that the reason why it's mutter to squeeze the pickle juice is based on the general rule called psikreish lo nichale being mutter. This has nothing to do with the sugif tzorech that we were talking about before. We said, Tazit Shabbos said, you know why you're allowed to squeeze the pickles to get rid of the juice, to improve the quality, the taste, the health of the pickles? So says Tosfos, the reason is because Malachas Disha requires a tzorech, and without a tzorech, it's not called a malacha, and it's like kotzer, and it's like korea, and it's like moichek, it's like soser, it's like batir. And Tosfos put it together into those handful of malachas where tzorech plays such a critical role. Says Taizen Ksubas, in the name of the Yarach, throw me a cup with those six malachas. That's not the reason why. The reason why it's mutter is because you're not planning on doing it. It's a psikreishin lo nichle, psikreishin lo nichle is mutter. But Tosus has a little bit of a problem, because if you go down to the bottom of that Tosus, the sixth name of Kamas, the bowl print, Tosus' opinion in the name of the Ri is against the Yarach. The Balei Tosus in the name of the Ri held that a psikreishin lo nichle is actually also b'di Rabbanan. In the Torah it's mutter, but it's also b'di Rabbanan. So Tosa says about Ktsas Kosha, Ipsikreshit lo nichale osur, a maikom a rab, a prey chavis, kvashach the goof on pot, but the hove ain't soch la mama yotim, ash the afa gav the ain't soch, I lios osur. So Tosa says, why are you allowed to squeeze out the juice to get rid of the pickle juice? Why isn't it also? Bishlam, according to the Aruch, it's mutter, because it's a psikreshit lo nichale. But according to us, according to the Re, it should still be prohibited in the Rabbanan. And Tosus doesn't say, oh, by the way, you know why it's mutter? Because it's like kotzer, like mochek, like korea, like soser, like matik. Tosus doesn't say that's the mokor. Tosus goes fishing, goes searching for another reason why you're allowed to squeeze out the pickles. Imagine a guy sitting there with his pickle on Shabbos, and he knows he can do it. He's sure it's mutter, but he can't figure out why it's mutter. is a mutter because it's like kolzer mochek soser, etc. It's a special, unique tour. These balachas that tzorach plays a critical role. Is a mutter because of psikreishet lo nichale like the aruch, or maybe it's mutter for a third reason. So comes the re and says, I'll give you a whole other story. Out of nowhere, Tosfos says, why is it mutter to squeeze the pickles? But let me read. The batzina lemeimar. The dafka kvashim shari davi and nischa b'yem kama ocha de ifras the ain she mashka alav says the re another going down a different route. What is meleches disha exactly? Disha, the original threshing that was done in the Mishkan, I'm exerting pressure and I'm getting out one aspect from another aspect. I'm getting out the usable part of the grain from, I don't know, the husks, whatever the stuff around the external parts is. I'm extracting out one from another. So Chazal understood that whenever I extract one entity from another, that's considered to be the malacha of dash. So when I squeeze a grape, I'm getting the juice out of the grape. Juice and grape are two different entities. When I'm pressing olives, I'm extracting the oil out of the olive. So an olive is a solid food, it's an ochel. The juice that's coming out is a mashke, is a drink, is a beverage. When I extract the liquid from the solid, that's the malacha of disha. But let's get strange questions. This. I take an apple, I take a knife, and I cut an apple in half. Oh, I'm chayush of disha, because I took half an apple from a whole apple. Which is a joke. Why is that a joke? Why is that a leitzanus? So Tosfos makes reference to a sugya that appears in Maseches Beitza. That is not called meleches disha. That's what's called ochla de ifras. Ifras means like to break. In Aramaic means like broken into little pieces. Ochla de ifras. So says the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Beitza, when you have one piece of food, the whole thing is food, the whole thing is solid, the whole thing is one entity, and you simply break it into pieces, I take a piece of challah and I break it apart. Ooh, I was dosh, part of the challah from the whole challah. That's not dosh. That's called an ochla de ifras. When you have an ochla de ifras, you're simply cutting a piece of food in half. That's not even the ballpark of being the malacha of disha. So says Tosfos, now it gets very, 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 very tricky. Halachically, how do you view the juice inside the pickles? So very long, who would have ever thought of a, like a Purim chakir? How do you view the relationship between the pickle and the pickle juice? So I see somebody sitting at the end of the Suda, you know, being down in the shower. How do you understand the lumdus between the pickle juice and the pickle? Do you say that the pickle juice, it's like grape juice, it's like olive oil, it's a liquid, it's inside a solid, and now when you squeeze it out, you are separating, you are extracting the liquid from the solid, and you are a candidate for the malacha of Vedisha. Is that pshat? What do I say? No, pickle juice. Pickle juice is not usually something you drink. You don't think of pickle juice as a beverage. You don't think of filling up a cup of pickle juice. You think of filling up a cup of grape juice. You think of filling up a pitcher of olive oil. You don't think of filling up a cup of pickle juice. So pickle juice is not a mashke per se. If it's not a mashke, so it's just part of the same pickle. It's like cutting a pickle in half. It's like cutting an apple in half. Like cutting a piece of challah in half. So even though I know it's chemically it's liquid, so if you want to know, is it flow like a liquid or is it a clump like a solid? I know technically in the world of the laboratory it's a liquid. But lamaisa, the world of the Spanish, apidit, it's a solid. It's part of the food proper. The only thing that maybe will make it into a liquid, if you're planning on drinking this pickle, your socha is the kvash and lume meya, and you want to use this pickle juice for something, then we can begin to discuss kenzai. Maybe it's considered to be a liquid. But kol's man that you're squeezing it legufan, so it's not a mashke, it's just an oichel, and it's an ochel ifras. Ochel ifras is not called dash altogether. So that's the lumdus that Tosfos says, that you want to know why you're allowed to squeeze out the pickle juice. It has nothing to do with psikreishet lo nichle, and it has zero to do with tzairich by six malachas. It's all wrong. The reason you're allowed to squeeze out the pickle juice is something very, very unique in Hilchos pickles. Namely, that this is not called dosh. This is called ochel de ifras. Ochel de ifras is not mashke. The malach of dosh is mashke from ochel, not ochel from ochel. That's the yisod ha-davar. So when all the dust settles, we still don't know, is that Gemara in Maseches Shabbos about squeezing pickles, is that a mocker for anything? Very, very unclear. Three different opinions in Rishonim, whether that Gemara has any relevance to our discussion or not. But now let's get back to our original sugya, back to the Mochek Kosev story. We're still stuck with this major machlokes, major question that we showed him about what is the meaning of that phrase, almanas, Mochek almanas lichtov. Is almanas just a way of gauging, is it a makalkel or not a makalkel? or is there much, much more, much deeper to the picture of Amanas? Amanas is an absolute criteria. It's necessary. Without it, not called a malacha. And as we already told, already pointed out for us, this is not unique to Mochek. This same question appears by other malachas, and one of the malachas, certain malachas, and one of the malachas where the same exact issue raises its head is the relation between Korea and Tofer. One of the Lamites malachas is to rip, and the other one is to sew. And the Mishnah says the same phrase, Korea Almanas Lefor, and we can ask the same question. Is Almanas absolutely critical, and it's absent, so not Korea? Or is Almanas negotiable? Almanas is just a way to measure, is it kilkul or not? So much of that discussion revolves around the 7th of the Mamre Kamos. It's a Gemara in Maseches Makos and Davgimah Bebeis. It snuck its way into Makos. It has nothing to do with Makos, nothing to do with Edim Zomim. It snuck its way in because it was a statement that Rav Yudah Marav said. The Rav Kahana asked a question on the Gemara answer. There was a certain flow of Shach Bataya that started out in Maseches Makos, then a few other cases kind of tangentially snuck in. So Mamre Rav Yudah Marav, the 7th of the Mamre Kamos. If a person opens up the neck hole of a garment on Shabbos, he's chayev chatos. What does that mean? So the image that we have is like a talis katan. Person has a pair of tzitzis. Imagine for a second you had a baguette to make tzitzis, but there was no hole, not a round hole, not a V-neck, no, there's no hole whatsoever. That's going to be a pretty silly kind of a garment. It's kind of hard to put over your head if there's no hole for the neck. So the guy opens up that neck hole, takes the scissors, cuts around, and makes a nice fitting hole. So he does that on Shabbos. It's chayv chatos. That's a melacha deraisa. Cutting open and preparing and finishing off that garment, that's a melacha deraisa. So Rashi, on the spot, says chayv, shetiken kli. Rashi identifies what the melacha is. There are 39 possibilities. Rashi tells you this is it. It's called meleches makeh bepatish. Tikun kli is the phrase that's always used to describe makeh bepatish. Makeh bepatish literally means to hit with a hammer. Has nothing to do with hammers. Hammers are sometimes a way that you finish a job, but not always. Sometimes it's a screwdriver, sometimes it's a scissors, sometimes it's your hands. Anytime you do what's called a gemara dava, gemara kli, you finish off the last step of preparing something to be used. That's called meleches makeh bepatish. So Rashi says that's what Rav meant to say, that when you cut open the hole in the tzitzis, that is the chi of gomel, that's the chi of chatas, and this is the deraisa of makeh bepatish. Notice the malacha that Rashi did not say. Rashi has 39 choices, and he picked makeh bepatish, but there's one that I would have possibly guessed that Rashi didn't say. And that is malacha's kareya. After all, I ripped. I mean, I think this is cut a garment, cut through some fabric, that sounds very Korea-ish to me. And notice Rashi veered away from that. Rashi doesn't say a word about Korea. And that kind of is somewhat of an open question. Why did Rashi steer away from Korea? What was wrong? What was missing in Malachas Korea? Rashi had to go find another potential Malachas. So hopefully that's what we have to see in the Shiur on Friday. Why Rashi didn't say what he should have said? Why the Rambam, in fact, does say what Rashi didn't say? And wherein lies that machlokes? That is that ultimately that machlokes that relates to Gemara Makos relate back to Asugim and Sanas Gittel. Let's see on Friday with the final touches on this.
Thank you. By the way, on the old Grossinger breakfast schedule, they had sauerkraut juice. Sauerkraut juice.
I do remember the Grossingers. I don't remember the sauerkraut juice. I remember the herrings.